Chapter 8. Purgatory or Hell.
"You cannot think to go in there,"
Regis exclaimed when Dahlia took the reins from him and veered the coach toward a side trail from the main road known as the Tradeway, a side road that seemed to lead to the ruined keep of Thornhold down at the seashore, a fortress whose wall had just been scaled by a spider the size of a young dragon. The halfling couldn't get the reins from her, so he leaned forward and grabbed them nearer the team and gave a great tug, abruptly stopping the carriage.
"We have to see what that was," Dahlia argued, and she reached to move the halfling's meddling hands away, but then grimaced and dropped the reins altogether, clutching her broken arm against her chest and hissing in pain.
"I already know what it was, and that's why I have no desire,"
Regis started to argue. But he saw a sudden look of surprise in Dahlia's eyes and stopped, then followed her gaze to the south, along the Tradeway, behind them, where once more the curly-haired little girl, who by all appearances seemed a creepy little demon creature if Regis had ever seen one, was in view, floating after them, smiling that wicked smile. Regis thought it curious, though, for while this little one had the aspects he would expect from a demonic being, or an undead specter, for some reason he couldn't yet comprehend, she wasn't revolting to him. Still, it concerned him more than a little that the child had chased them all the way from Waterdeep, from House Margaster.
"Go. Just go," Dahlia cried.
And Regis didn't argue this time, snapping the reins, urging the team to leap ahead. He guided them back onto the main road, pushing them to a full gallop as soon as the ground smoothed beneath the carriage.
"The world has gone mad," Dahlia muttered, shaking her head, tears rolling down her cheeks.
She looked back, not at the floating demon child, but into the passenger compartment of the coach, where her beloved Artemis Entreri lay, wrapped in a shroud of some unknown material. A death shroud, she was certain, and one that was every so often spitting vicious little wasps. Now a demon child chasing them and a gigantic spider climbing a castle wall. It was all too much for her. Regis dropped a comforting hand on her leg and slowed the team just a bit, for the demon child was not moving swiftly and had already fallen far behind.
"Hold hope," he told her again. "We have nothing else."
"Then we have nothing," Dahlia whispered, and Regis heard, and he couldn't disagree.
"Rumble, belly!"
the halfling and Dahlia heard above the clatter of the rolling coach and the stamp of horses' hooves. Regis slowed the coach but did not dare stop and turned back in the direction of the call.
"Rumble, belly!"
he heard again, and a dwarf crashed out of the brush at the side of the road, a broad fellow with black hair and a beard braided and tied with bits of dung.
"Athrocate!"
Regis breathed, leaning back and tugging the reins to halt the team.
"What's he doing out here?" Dahlia asked.
"With her," Regis explained, when another figure, a drow woman, stepped onto the road beside the dwarf. "They are the ones who got me to Waterdeep."
Regis didn't try to turn the coach around on the narrow road, so he held the team steady and let the two trot up to them.
"Climb up," Dahlia told the two before they could even exchange greetings. "We've no time to tarry."
"Up or in, eh?"
Athrogate asked. Regis noted that the dwarf was carrying a large sack over one shoulder, and sticking out from it was a pommel, one the halfling knew well. For its end was carved into the likeness of a panther, of Guinevere. Before he could say anything about that, however, he noticed Ivanel's face crinkle with surprise, then settle into curiosity, as she stared through the window into the carriage's passenger compartment. Dahlia started to say something, but Regis grabbed her good arm and squeezed, bidding her be silent, for he saw that Ivanel was then whispering something as if casting a spell. The drow woman's face crinkled again with even greater surprise and apparent disgust.
"What is this?"
she demanded, turning to the two on the driver's bench.
"It is Entreri, trapped within," said Dahlia.
"Dead?"
"No," Dahlia said too sharply, and Ivanel and Athrogate stared at her.
"Then what is it?" Ivanel asked again, even more insistently. She knew something they did not, Regis surmised, and she didn't look happy about it.
What?
She asked again.
You should ask her,
Regis remarked, looking past the drow and down the road, nodding his chin to turn Ivanel. There came the little demon child, floating, smiling, always smiling.
We must go, Dahlia said, but Ivanel held up her hand and shook her head.
Athrogate, take the cocoon out of the carriage, Ivanel instructed. Be ready to jump in fast if we must flee.
We'll not leave him, Dahlia shouted down at her, but Regis quickly begged her to be silent.
Hold trust, Dahlia, he said. Ivanel is powerful, more than you can imagine. I have seen her banish great demons with but a few words.
Even as she thought to protest, Athrogate did as instructed, laying the shrouded body down at the side of the coach, yelping as a wasp flew out and bit at him. He slapped it flat, then pulled the stubborn thing from his face and looked at it curiously.
I seen a lot and seen a bee, but now I'm not knowing what I see, he remarked.
Ivanel glanced over at him.
Body's a bug, but face is a people,
the dwarf said, holding up the strange creature. He ended with a,
whoa now,
and stepped fast up toward the front of the carriage when the strange demon-like little girl floated up to hover before Ivanel, close enough for Athrogate to see that her eyes were perfectly white.
Hello,
the child said sweetly. She seemed to study Ivanel more closely, then smiled even wider and said,
hello,
with much more enthusiasm.
I know you, Ivanel said. Oh, you will. Everybody will, one day.
Ivanel cast a spell, then another, and the little girl hardly seemed to mind, clearly even more tickled by the beautiful drow woman's apparent confusion.
You cannot see the truth, only because you cannot believe the truth,
the floating child said.
How can it be?
The little girl giggled and shrugged.
I know you, Ivanel insisted. But it cannot be. But it is. How?
Has all the world gone mad?
Asked the befuddled drow woman, a powerful priestess and powerful wizard who knew as well as any living mortal the workings of magic and of the planes of existence. And of things like this little girl, things that should not be given form.
She did this to him, Dahlia said. She struggled past Regis and jumped down awkwardly, cradling her arm.
She reached back for her powerful staff, but Regis grabbed the other end and tugged with all his strength.
I will destroy you, Dahlia promised the child. I will send you back to hell.
Hell,
Ivanel echoed.
That is her name. That is one name,
said the little girl.
Heaven.
Torment, said Ivanel.
Mentor,
the girl answered.
What is this?
Regis demanded, but he went silent when he realized that no one was listening to him.
Aye,
said Athrogate, and he stepped up beside his drow companion. To the girl he said,
punishment.
Reward,
the little girl giggled.
There is always another name, a balancing name. And you are the judge, said Ivanel. I am the scale,
the girl corrected.
Judgment,
Ivanel said.
Justice,
the girl retorted, perfectly mimicking her intensity. Ivanel started to say something more, but paused and conceded the point with a nod, and held up her hand to make sure her companions stayed back.
What is this?
Regis yelled once more.
I am called Charon at this time,
the girl said.
Charon, you mean, said Ivanel.
That is one name sometimes given by the people who need to invent names to try to make sense out of that which they cannot understand. But then, of course, so is Charon.
The boatkeeper,
Athrogate muttered.
You should not be here, said Ivanel.
Dear Ivanel, I am ever present, particularly to those who deny my ever-present voice. Sharon replied. Is that not reason enough? But like this?
Evenel's hand swept out before her, taking in the breath of the floating child.
What is this form you have been given? An unusual circumstance, yes? Perhaps unique?
Sharon shrugged.
I did not ask for it. I did not will it. It was there, and so...
She giggled again.
You took form when Demogorgon fell, the drow reasoned. It is an interesting time. That fiend is a great corrupter, after all. Perhaps I wondered what his absence might mean for those who hear my whispers. And what the fall of the barrier of the Phaesris might mean. That too.
An interesting time, Evenel agreed. But it shouldn't interest you.
That is not your place, quite definitely not. Definitely so. It keenly interests me, of course, and why would it not? This is the time of chaos. And so these are the times that try the soul most especially. What a grand circumstance of revelation.
Not revelation to you, Evenel argued. How can it be, for the crimes of the heart are ever known to you?
Ah, but now the criminals can see it themselves,
she motioned to the cocoon.
And now I can show them the consequences. Think back. You have been given the gift of memories older than your form. This time now? It is not so different from how love was given form millennia ago.
Regis noted Evenel rocking back on her heels at that strange remark, and he found himself surprised when the drow began nodding her head, seeming almost as if she didn't want to, but could not help herself.
When love was given form, the drow priestess repeated,
and it was clear to all that she was speaking to herself. Then to Sharon, she said,
in an unusual time, can you hear an unusual request? I witness. I do not try.
You are not judgment? Sharon didn't respond, and for once, her smile left her face, although Regis wasn't sure if that was a good thing or a portent of doom.
Then what is he? Evenel demanded, pointing to the cocooned Entreri. He is of his own making, of course.
Liar, Dahlia accused, and she jumped forward and brandished her staff threateningly, though the movement had her grimacing in pain. You did this to him. Sharon just looked at her sweetly, and Dahlia fell silent. Dahlia's face began to twist, and she began to chew her lip, and tears came to her eyes. Her strong pose melted into shivers, and in but a few moments the powerful woman staggered backward, gasping for breath and trying to cry out, her head shaking in horrified denial.
Did you have to do that? Evenel asked. Would you rather that?
Sharon asked, nodding her chin toward the cocoon.
Did you have to do that as well?
The little girl shrugged.
Give him back, Evenel said.
I ask this of you.
Give him back in fairness. His journey is not yet complete. His path had changed, absent you, who should not be here in this manifestation. Can Artemis Entreri not walk the road to the end of his days, perhaps to a destination less harsh? He has walked longer than any human should.
A most interesting journey, though. Sharon smiled once more, even giggled, and conceded the point with a nod.
Do you not see the problem? Evenel asked her. You are interfering. You should not be here, and simply because you are, you are passing final judgment on that which is not final.
Sharon sighed and shrugged, and sighed again.
You know I speak the truth, said Evenel. You have known this truth for a while now, from the beginning. Or are you such that you can force all to be true to themselves except for you?
That brought a laugh from Sharon, one that seemed heartfelt.
Bravo, clever drow. How clever will you be in the end, I wonder?
She smiled and sighed.
Perhaps it is time for me to leave, she agreed, and she glanced to the side, to the cocoon, and issued a sharp puff of breath. Immediately the cocoon began to dissolve into more stinging wasps. No, Dahlia cried, and took a step that way. She fell back as a second swarm arose, similar to the first but of a different shade. Then she fell back some more, and Athrogate howled and joined her, and Regis jumped off the far side of the bench seat as the two swarms engaged, wasp to wasp, biting and stinging, fighting each other, mutual death in mutual embrace, a wild war of tiny creatures so evenly matched that the swarms diminished equally.
See?
Sharon asked, as the last of them dropped to the ground and died.
There is always another name.
On the ground, Artemis and Treri coughed and vomited, jerking over to the side before half sitting, huddling and shaking. Dahlia rushed to him, as did Athrogate.
It was interesting, Sharon told Ivanel.
The little girl began to float back down the south road, growing less substantial. Coming around the back of the carriage, Regis was shocked to watch Ivanel run after her. Sharon, she called. Conscience!
Conscience?
The halfling asked, his eyes widening as he began to figure it out. The girl, growing translucent, stopped and turned.
Tell me, Ivanel implored her. Tell you? Heaven or hell?
The drow priestess asked.
Can you tell me? For you?
Sharon asked incredulously, starkly shocked, as if the question itself was so out of bounds that it should never be asked of her, Regis thought.
No, Ivanel clarified. For that I know you cannot, but for all of us, for the world and those who inhabit this world, this place, I ask you, who see most clearly of all, where does it go? Which side of the scale will prove the heavier?
The girl laughed at her.
Tell me, Ivanel begged. Tell yourself.
And Sharon floated away to nothingness. Regis ran to Ivanel, who started suddenly, her head jerking, her gasp great indeed.
What?
The halfling asked. Ivanel didn't answer, for Sharon had told only her, in her head, where that little girl voice had whispered,
The arc of reason bends to heaven. The darkness of a few can force hell.
What?
Regis pressed. A smile grew on Ivanel's face, and she began to nod.
What? You must.
It is a long game, my friend, Ivanel told him. A long road, but hold faith, for now I believe that it is one worth traveling.
What?
Regis asked again, his voice trailing away.
Are you going to tell me what this is all about?
You already know.
What was her name?
She has many.
Conscience?
Ivanel looked down at Regis and smiled, then turned and went back to tend to Entreri. Regis didn't watch her go. He kept his gaze down the south road where the little girl, Sharon, had faded to nothingness. He stared as if he was still seeing her, and in his mind's eye he was, replaying the earlier encounters. He glanced to the side just for a moment to see Dahlia as he considered the very different reactions he and the elf woman had experienced when confronted with the specter of Sharon. He had been strangely comfortable, but Dahlia quite the opposite. He knew enough of Dahlia's past to put things together, and he found himself nodding as he considered Ivanel's remarks and the exchange. Yes, he thought, in the weakening of the planar barrier. The hordes of demons had been set free of the abyss, and so too had come this thing. Sharon wasn't a creature, and yet she was an inescapable part of every reasoning creature. Sharon was conscience, given form and substance.
A gasp turned the halfling about to find Artemis Entreri sitting up, his face pallid, his eyes haunted and red, his jaw hanging open with drool all over his chin and cheek. As Dahlia pulled off Entreri's shirt, Regis lost his breath yet again, for the man's shoulders, chest, belly, everywhere in his torso and his arms was pocked with small red wounds. The wasps, Regis realized. The wasps that had bothered Dahlia but had barely noticed the halfling. The stinging wasps of conscience. Truly, Regis didn't know what to think or how to feel. He had witnessed something beyond his comprehension, and at the same time something that seemed miraculous, as Ivonel cast spells of healing over Entreri, the man already seeming much better. It occurred to the halfling that perhaps the cocoon of Sharon might prove to be a great blessing to the man, a warning, grim and painful. Artemis Entreri was a much better man than he used to be, Regis believed, and maybe, just maybe, this brutal episode would encourage him to even better things ahead. He could hope so, at least. Of course, this was all contingent on Ivanel's suspicion being correct. It was quite possible that this little creature, Sharon, was nothing more than a malevolent, deceitful demon. In his heart, though, Regis found he didn't believe that. Despite everything, the chaos, the destruction, the giant spider, the pains of Entreri, Regis had a lightness to his step when he joined the others by the side of the road. Come, Ivanel bid them all. Thornhold is just ahead, down at the water.
Oh, don't go there, Regis warned. There's a monster.
A monster spider, Dahlia agreed. It scaled the wall. We were far down the road, yet saw it. So great was its size.
Not a spider, Athrogate said. And we seen it go over the wall.
A retriever, Ivanel explained. A great demonic construct. There is likely nothing left alive in Thornhold.
And you still want to go in there?
Regis asked with an eyebrow arched. It is almost surely gone, Ivanel answered.
Chase Drizzt in there, Athrogate said, and Regis gasped. He gived me his stuff for safekeeping, then took the darned thing halfway across the world and over the wall.
Come, Ivanel said. Let us see. She started off and the others followed, Dahlia helping Entreri to his feet. Once there, though, the man took only a moment to steady himself, then bent and retrieved his weapons and cloak and moved to follow.
I'm glad you're okay, Regis said to him as he shambled past.
Entreri looked over at him skeptically, but nodded and continued on his way. Regis recognized that skepticism and didn't take it as an affront. No. Regis understood the real source, for in truth, Artemis Entreri looked anything but okay. He was free of the wasp cocoon, but he was not. He still heard their buzz, felt their tiny feet crawling over him. And though the vicious demon insects were not biting him any longer, he could still feel their stings profoundly. He looked to Ivanel, many steps ahead of him and moving determinedly through the rocky ground before the old keep. She might have some answers, he thought. But did he really need them? For in the mind of Artemis Entreri, his ghastly experience seemed clear enough. Only one question nagged at him. Was it some form of purgatory, some forced, painful penance, or was it hell? Eternal hell? He hoped for the former and feared the latter, but he knew that the choice was correctly delineated. While in there, the insects biting or stinging, or whatever it was that they did to inflict such fire, he could see nothing with his physical eyes, but couldn't unsee the many crimes he had committed. Not every fight and killing had come at him in that seemingly endless loop of atrocity. No, only the ones he knew to be unjustified. Unjustified. That was something that Artemis Entreri had never openly admitted, not to Drizzt,
not to Jarlaxle, not to his first love, Callihy, not even to Dahlia. In the unrelenting anger that had consumed him for most of his life, had he ever really admitted it to himself? Now he felt as if he could not hide from those instances. Now they weighed heavy in his heart and flickered like a thunderstorm in his mind, flashing between the two raw memories of unspeakable, unrelenting, undiminishing pain. Pain he deserved, he knew. Pain he could only hope would cleanse him of those old, dead events, like fires consuming the rotting husks of used-up trees. He heard Dahlia talking to him rather insistently at his side and looked over at her. "You're free now," she was saying. "We found you. We got you. We got you from that place." And Treri didn't know how to answer, so instead he asked a question. "Limbo or hell?" Dahlia looked at him curiously and did not respond. But she swallowed hard. And Artemis and Treri knew by that, and by her blanching face as the blood drained, that she certainly understood.